Continuing on in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite parts of the Bible. One of the heroes or heroines of my faith, I'm not sure how you say it, is Mary Magdalene. This picture right here is from a little place in Migdal, where Mary's from, in the southwest shore of Galilee. Beautiful place. We'll talk about that later. We're in John 20, 11 through 18. We're in part two of our little excursion through chapter 20 that deals with, let me turn on my microphone here. It deals with the resurrection of Jesus from the perspective of John. Last week, we saw the chapter open, there's a lot of confusion in that chapter. Mary thought that with the tomb, the rock rolled away from the tomb, that someone had taken Jesus. The disciples came, they saw the linens and the cloth, and then they just bailed on Mary. But as we see this chapter unfold, we will observe Christ revealing his resurrected body to them, reconciling them to himself. The disciples had all left Jesus, just like they left Mary. And so all of chapter 20 is reconciling those disciples back to him. This process of reconciliation begins in earnest with Mary Magdalene, the first witness, according to John, of Christ's resurrection. And so there's a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. Let's stand one more time for the reading of God's word, John 20, verses 11 through 18. The Bible says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he had said these things to her." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please have a seat. So for those of you who are new to my ministry, I was in the Navy, and most of my stories are Navy stories. It's probably boring to some people. But today is a little Navy story. So one of the worst excuses for doing things a certain way is that we've always done it that way. You ever heard that before? Every commanding officer in the Navy, or CO for short, I had in the Navy, hated hearing that. Why is that? Usually this sort of conversation came on the heels of the CO finding some discrepancy in how their sailors performed a task or what have you, and it was almost always not in accordance with the book. There's a magic book that the Navy uses for everything that they do. While the CO didn't like being the one person in the chain of command to identify and correct a faulty mindset, he or she had no qualms doing so on the spot. In Mary's case, her approach to dealing with the loss of what she had with Jesus was based on faulty understanding. She wasn't the only one. Usually when they put somebody in the ground, they stay dead. That's how we always do it. They're in the ground and they're dead. But Jesus is different. He is the first of the resurrection that with a body like we're going to have. We saw last week that the disciples did not yet understand what the scriptures had to say about Jesus and his resurrection, though Jesus had spoken of his death and resurrection and preceding them into Galilee many times. But they weren't tuned in. And neither was Mary, to be frank. However true that is, it's equally true that she stood by Jesus even in death to take care of him. She was available to him. This might be a little controversial, but when many would say that a woman shouldn't preach the gospel or lead men, always point to this story. God uses people available to him to get his point across to other people. And what was that point to be made? And that's our main idea today. Our Lord's resurrection brought reconciliation with God to those who turn away from their old lives to turn to Christ by faith through grace. So we're going to be talking about grieving today. We're going to be talking about turning to the Lord today. And it's not that grieving is wrong. It's a normal part of being a human being. But we're going to be talking about how we are reoriented to God through Christ. And we don't have to live in pain all our lives. So the first thing I want to tell you is that grieving, what used to be, is natural because it's hard to let go. It's a healthy part of being human. But it can be destructive if our vision is stuck in a place that does not compare with what's in front of us. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're a Christian, you believe that what's on the other side of your final breath is glory. But if you don't have that knowledge, if you're not born again, if you haven't received Christ by faith, then there's nothing for you on the other side with God. Our passage opens with Mary Magdalene stranded in front of the tomb, apparently all by herself. Her elders had her support system had been there and left, and she was left in her weeping. Now I want to give you a little bit of background on Mary. I've already told you she's from a place called Migdal, gorgeous place. My brother and I went to Israel several years ago, about 11 years ago, and we stayed at this Christian bed and breakfast kind of thing, and was overlooking the Galilee. It was in her hometown, and I promise you, it's a gorgeous place. But Mary had had an interaction with Jesus where he had cast out seven demons from her, and she was present with Jesus during his crucifixion. And all the Gospels, in one way or another, include her in the tomb, not only with the crucifixion, but in the tomb before. During his his resurrection. So there's this love that Mary has for Jesus that stems from him having transformed her life in a way that nobody else could. Now, we don't know anything much about Mary's theology about Christ, but it was probably not that different from the male disciples. They thought that Jesus was gone, they were hiding for their lives, the men were, except for Mary as she wept by the tomb. Now, so she's weeping there because she doesn't see anything past that moment. She thinks that her Lord is this corpse. Wherever that corpse is, that's where she wants to be. When Jesus was alive, wherever he physically was, that's where she wanted to be. And not to give away the story before I even get started, the reason why she wanted to cling to Jesus is because she thought that she had to be physically present with Jesus to be cared for by him. But we have an advantage over Mary. We have the whole counsel of God that tells us the beginning and the end, not only of this story, but the whole story. From beginning to end, all of redemptive history, we have it. We know how the story ends, and we know that Jesus wins in the end. But Mary didn't know that at the time. What do we take from that? Well, first of all, what we had with God before Jesus came and died and rose again was not good enough. You and I are like Mary. Maybe we grieve a loved one, and maybe we're struggling to deal with it, or maybe we're grieving the loss of a relationship, or maybe we're grieving the loss of a marriage or a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the case may be. Maybe we're struggling or we're grieving the loss of a job or something like that. And it's difficult to get past it. A lot of times, our joy is bound up in a thing. Our joy is bound up in a place. Our joy is bound up in a person. Our joy is bound up in a relationship. Or our joy is bound up in a chemical. Or our joy is bound up in a bottle. Or our joy is bound up in 100 different things except the risen King. And so when that thing is gone, our grief is still there. Our grief is still located with that thing. And unless we can turn from it to God, we'll never have real joy, lasting joy. Like I said, Mary's joy was bound up in Christ's physical location, his old body.
But what she had with him was not good enough because it was not meant to last. The Mosaic system was not meant to last. The temple worship system was not meant to last. The old way of approaching God was not meant to last. Even when Jesus was on earth and he multiplied the fish and loaves and fed the 5,000, those in John 6, those same people searched him out. And Jesus said, "You only came to me because you want bread. But there's something else you should be laboring for, and that's a real relationship with me. Those that the Father brings to me, I will not cast out, and in the end, I will raise them up." There's a spiritual connection that Jesus is talking about that Mary didn't understand. That's why she was there weeping. Our churches don't last. This church was, I was telling one of our visitors earlier today, I was talking about the history of Grace Point, how Grace Point was a seat of faith with a couple of three people in 1870. And between 1870 and 1963, it moved here and there and finally here. It has a history of migration. Things don't last. What you see in front of you doesn't last. But our relationship with God lasts forever. Amen? Now, the good news is that things turn around in God's time. Mary's situation turned around in time. Our passage talks about Mary turning over and over. How her situation changed is instructive for you and I, and we should take note of it. You see, we're stuck until we hear the good news. Mary was stuck in her grief until she was asked by both of the angels in the tomb, or perhaps it was one, as well as Jesus himself, although his person was shrouded from her. She thought it was somebody else. "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" Now, that's an odd question, isn't it? She's in a cemetery. People cry in cemeteries. People cry in front of their loved ones every year. They go back and they visit. Every time I go to Alabama, I go and see my dad's grave. And we think about what used to be and how things used to be and how sorrowful we are about that. They ask her, "Why are you weeping?" But then she turns around. She doesn't realize that it's Jesus. She's speaking to her. But, you know, Jesus, when he says her name, that's when things clicked. That's when the scales fell off of our eyes. Jesus knows the sound of, he knows your name. John 10 talks about that. He's a shepherd. He knows your name. And that's the second point I want to make to you today, is that God has newer and better things for you. Your grief is temporary. And when we come to know the truth about Jesus, all our grief is gone. We still have grief here on earth for our loved ones. But when we believe that if they've received Christ and you've received Christ, that we are all going to be united in glory. You see, grief is natural, but it's temporary. Looking back at Mary's situation before she encountered the risen Lord, there's things that we can relate to. There's things about Mary's situation that are not unique to her. She turns and she's looking all over the place for Jesus, and then she sees these two angels that did not reveal themselves to Peter and John, and nothing they say to her helps. She encounters Jesus, and at first his word doesn't make sense to her because all she's doing is looking around for the body of Jesus. But it's her name. You know, it's her name. John 10, 3b and 4, 2, 4 says that the sheep hear his voice. And his own, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The Lord knows how to get through to you. He does. It's through his word that's preached to you. It pricks your heart. You know he's speaking to you. Mary knew Jesus' voice and the sound of it. All her grief was gone. It was replaced with joy. You see, Jesus opens our eyes and the grief is gone. Her eyes were open, but when she heard Jesus' voice. Now, we don't have the physical Jesus in our midst today. We don't have him sitting with us, speaking our name. But what do we have? We have the Bible. We have the revealed Word of God and the Holy Spirit who makes that Bible come to life in our hearts. It's been a while ago. I want to say it's been a couple of years ago. I was doing grief counseling with somebody, and I kind of used that as an opportunity to share Christ. And this person, I asked them if they wanted a Bible, and they said yes. And they asked me, well, what should I read? And I told this person, I said, well, usually seekers read the book of John, or new Christians read the book of John. And so I recommend that you read the book of John. And they asked me, they said, are you going to test me on it? And I said, I'm not going to test you. I'm probably going to ask you how you found it. How did it go? And so they came back to me 2 weeks later. They consumed the book of John in 2 weeks. They came back and I asked them, well, how did it go? How did the book of John work out for you? And they said, every word jumped off the page and spoke to me personally. I couldn't have preached it any better than that. God knows how to reach you through his word. That's why it's important to come to church, by the way, and hear the gospel being preached. He speaks to our hearts through his Holy Spirit, through his word. Isaiah 30:21 says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or turn to the left. Now, that's not a literal voice behind you that tells you every move to make. But the Lord knows, his voice is spiritual, and your spirit receives that. His Holy Spirit communicates redemption to us, and it's through his word. In other words, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you some random thing and then you go off and believe it. It's the Bible that you put your trust in as far as the truth. Jesus told the disciples that he would die and that he would rise again and that he would meet them in Galilee, and he was keeping his word. We have the Bible from which the Holy Spirit reveals to us his word, and we draw strength from it and joy from it because it's truth and it comes true. The farther you go along with him and the more you find yourself craving his word every day, the more strength you're going to draw from it. In every place that you turn, you're going to find the answers that you need from the scripture. The Holy Spirit reveals scripture to you. That's why it's important for you to be inside the Bible every single day. If the only Bible you get is when you come to this church every week, then you're not as nourished as you could be. Do you know what I mean? You're not as spiritually healthy as you could be. You're not as spiritually vibrant as you could be. The more you spend time with him in prayer and the study of his word, you'll experience his Holy Spirit sealing his grace within your heart, speaking to your hearts, resulting in grace for you. And that joy isn't local to the here and now. When Mary encountered the resurrected Christ, she wanted to hold on to him. If you remember back from my introduction, the relationship we have with God is not local to a specific place, but it's spiritual. And this is critical to the reason why she was grieving. You see, we're given joy in our mourning, and we can easily find ourselves ritualizing this time and place where something worked out for us. Do you know what I mean? I came from a country church down in Alabama, and whenever we would feel, spiritually, our spiritual tanks would be empty, we would come, we called it praying at the altar. Now, that's not something Reformed Christians do. It's just something that church down there did. But it's easy to think that you have to go to one place and find the sustenance that you need. The really great thing about Reformed doctrine is that we teach that we worship God in spirit and in truth. What Jesus is telling Mary, it's not unlike what he told the Samaritan woman. There's a time coming where you'll neither worship here on this mountain, but nor in Jerusalem, but you'll worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Now, the reason he told Mary that is because she was grabbing for him, and so he pushed her away. He didn't want to be gripped in that way. But it's not because he didn't want to be touched at all, because John 20, as we continue on, we see other people touching Jesus and seeing his wounds. But what he's communicating to her is that the situation has changed. The way they used to interact with Jesus was going to be different. He was going to go up into heaven. And they were going to have the Holy Spirit with them. It was going to be a spiritual life. A comforter was coming. And that was great news that needed sharing. And so that brings me to my third point. Is it? God has newer and better things for those that are close to him or close to you. And so it helps to remember where you came from, since other people are there. And so you should tell people about him. Now, after telling Mary not to touch him because he was ascending, he tells her, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. The disciples had all left Jesus, and they had left her, and so she's being co-opted into this ministry of reconciliation that Paul talks about, I think, in the 2 Corinthians. But he's resurrected, and he's telling them how to be reconciled to him. And so the point here is that we have good news to share, and we should share it with those closest to us. And what was the good news in this case? In her case, Jesus was said that a time was coming that was going to be changed. They were going to be reconciled to him by the Spirit. The truth about Jesus' situation and the disciples was that they were going to be restored and reconciled. They were sheep that had been scattered after Jesus was taken. But now, all things were about to be made new. And that included how they were to engage with Christ. Again, it's not about a particular place, but it's about a relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship. And that's how they were to engage with him. And that was the whole way that they were to be reconciled, was through a spiritual connection. Now, as we continue going on in John 20, I'm about to close, but as we continue in John 20, we're going to see Jesus revealing himself in physical ways. People are going to see him. People are going to be able to touch him. But at the end of chapter 20, we're going to see really the whole thesis of the whole book of John, and that is that these things were written that you might believe, and that in believing you might have eternal life. The message that Mary is bringing to the disciples has to do with their eternal life. It has to do with their justification. It has to do with their reconciliation. It has to do with them being made right in God's eyes. Amen? Now, you and I experience real grief in this world, as I mentioned in the beginning. It's human to experience grief. It's part of responding to something painful that has permanent connotations to it. When a person passes away in this world, they're dead until they have a new body. Their spirit is restored to God if they're a born-again Christian, but their body is where it is. But God has something greater, more positive, and more permanent for us than even death, if you believe in the gospel, if you turn from your sin and turn to God. It's more wonderful than any grief than you can possibly encounter. The good news is a voice inside you that makes the gospel come alive when we hear it. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word that was being transmitted, not only to Mary, but for Mary to carry the disciples, was all about being reconciled to him. It's a voice that disciples us into right thinking about him, and it's a voice that will one day come and call us to be where he is. Amen. I have an encouragement from you from the book of Jude. The Bible says in the book of Jude, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.